Thank you for calling Aruba Network. We'll be right with you. When it comes to simplifying operations and securing access to all corporate applications and services, our award-winning portfolio of campus, branch teleworkers, and mobile solutions will have you connected in no time, regardless of your device, location, or network. This dramatically improves productivity and lowers capital and operational costs. To learn more, please visit us online at www.arubanetworks.com. Whether you're at the office, home, in a hotel, or on the road, Aruba's user-centric distributed access networking securely and reliably brings enterprise applications to users wherever they work. For more information, please hold. Your call will be connected momentarily.
Good morning, everyone, and good afternoon. We're waiting for a few more folks to join. We'll get started pretty shortly. I hope all of you had a great weekend. Can you guys hear me fine there?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes.
Okay. So what we're going to do once we get started is we're going to put the lines on mute. And I'll repeat this once again later. We're going to put the lines on mute, and we're going to take questions from all of you guys over here. So, you know, I encourage you to get familiar with the console for GoToMeeting if you haven't used it already. So, you know, play around with it. You know, put some messages on the chat. As we see the questions that you guys have come through the chat, we'll take those questions one by one.
Why don't we do a quick round of introductions of everyone that's on the call so we know everyone who's on the call?
Before we mute the lines?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why don't we do that? Hey, Chris?
They're all able to see each other also on the chat.
That's great, but I'd like to just make a quick round of introductions as well. Peter, do you want to introduce yourself? Why don't you start off, and then we'll move on.
Hello, I'm Peter Thornycroft. I guess I'm the Trump you're going to stump, or is it the other way around?
And I see the first person on the GoToMeeting is Chris Little. Hey, Chris.
Hi, I'm Chris Little. I work for Acuvant, and I have a blog called WifiKiwi.com.
Welcome. Daniel, or Dan?
Hi. Like you said, I'm Dan Cebulski. Sorry if my mic is a little loud. I'm just rebuilding my machine. So I work for a partner out of Toronto called NCI, and I also have a blog at simplywifi.ca.
Welcome, Dan. How about you, Jerry?
Hi, I'm Jerry Urban. I'm with Return Path, just an end user that wanted to see what was going on in here, see what I could learn.
Well, welcome to the call, Jerry. Next on the line, we have Keith Parsons.
Well, Keith Parsons, I run a company called Wireless LAN Professionals. That's what we do, these new wireless LANs. And I have a blog at WLANpros.com.
Okay. Welcome, Keith. Matthew Sabin.
Yeah, this is Matthew Sabin. I'm a network engineer for Winco Foods, grocery store chain on the West Coast, and we're using Aruba products and always looking for new ways to make things fit our needs better.
Good to have you on the call, Matthew. Next, we have Rob Jin. I think, Rob, your line looks like it's muted. Let's move on to Ryan.
This is Ryan. I'm with the Ohio State University.
Come again, Ryan.
This is Ryan. I'm with OSU, Ohio State University.
Welcome, Ryan. did we miss anybody on the call? Okay, my name is Keir Shah. I'm the product marketing manager here at Aruba Networks for our wireless LAN products. I will be your moderator on the call today. My purpose today is to just facilitate a conversation, you know, encourage you guys to ask and get answers to any questions you guys might have, and, you know, also take some notes in case we have some other concerns or questions that we need to address in the future. At the end of the call, we'll also talk about a pretty exciting contest slash survey that we are running, and we'd like to get your feedback on that. You know, but before we jump into the call, I'd like to, first of all, thank all of you to participate on the call today. We are very happy and excited to have you here. You know, we appreciate your contributions to our forums, and we appreciate the you know, the engagement that you guys have shown with Aruba in the past, right? You know, and we wanted to recognize that, and as a result, we have Peter here today. As most of you know, Peter is an industry expert. He's been with Aruba for a really long time. He represents Aruba at a lot of different industry events. He's pretty much an expert on most things Wi-Fi. So what we thought is, you know, since you guys are so engaged and so interested in wireless-related topics, we wanted Peter to, you know, make himself available for a call today so you guys can, you know, pick his brains, you know, ask any questions you have. I would say no topic is taboo here, except, of course, if you have any roadmap-related questions, we'll have to defer that to when those products are actually available. But in general, anything Wi-Fi-related, hopefully we should be able to get those answers today. If not, we'll take some notes and get back to you. Does that make sense? Do you guys have any questions before I put the lines on mute?
You don't want us to talk about Cisco, though.
Well, we would like to hear about Cisco if you have anything to share, for sure. just some logistics for the call, because we have a lot of people on the call and we don't want you guys talking on top of each other. What we're going to do is we're going to have all your lines on mute, but if you have questions, you can just post those questions on the chat, and we'll take those questions one by one. And guys, don't be shy. You know, we want to keep this engaging and informative for you guys also. So please feel free to kick it off. I'm thinking we're going to probably, you know, distribute the whole session in three different topics, right? To kick it off, we can talk about 802.11ac, the new and upcoming standard, and what's happening in that space as far as Wi-Fi Alliance goes, as far as the IEEE technology goes, as far as, you know, client product availability goes. We'll talk about that, and if you guys have questions, we'll take questions about 11ac for the next 15 minutes or so. After that, we can talk about general Wi-Fi-related questions that you might have. And following that, I have a very specific topic that I want to talk about, which is use cases for, you know, high-density, high-capacity, high-performance 11ac Wi-Fi. So we'll keep that to an end. But to kick it off, why don't we start off with some questions around 11ac? And as you guys think about the questions, I have an initial question for Peter to start off with, so we can kick this off. So, Peter, the first question I have is, what can you tell us about, you know, when can we expect more clients? When can we expect Wi-Fi Alliance certification with those clients? And, you know, when is it that we'll actually start using 11ac in the coming future?
Gosh, well, I think, hello, everyone. I think the people on the call can probably say more about clients than I can, but clearly we're seeing all the new high-end smartphones and tablets are going to come out with 11ac. We already saw the Galaxy S4 has been announced with AC. I don't know if we've actually been able to get one yet. Are they shipping?
It's supposed to ship this week,
very soon. And although nobody, of course, in the inside will say so, we're pretty sure that we'll see Apple come out with AC on all their new devices from now. Obviously, they don't talk about that beforehand, but their history is very much that they come out with the latest, greatest Wi-Fi. So I think we'll see that.
Muted.
On the access point side, obviously, the consumer stuff is moving. I think the Wi-Fi Alliance date, Wi-Fi Alliance isn't strictly public, but I think the date is just after the middle of the year, so just into the second half. And, of course, they'll be launching the official launch of the certification. And at that point, I think pretty much everyone in the enterprise access point side will be announcing their access points.
Unmuted.
So, guys, I've actually unmuted your lines. We feel that that's probably going to keep this more interactive. But still, feel free to post your questions on the chat so we can call you guys out one by one. So, hey, the next question here we have is from Dan. And, Dan, go ahead and repeat your question. I think your line's unmuted now.
Okay, sure. I was just wondering if we can get Peter's thoughts on the implications of per frame with band signaling or per frame channel widths, specifically around how we're going to design new networks, and does it mean we're going to have to relearn the way we survey in an 802.11ac world, or is it just kind of an additional step and nothing really changes, in his opinion?
Gosh, good question.
Muted.
I think if we stick to 40 megahertz channels, we can continue the way we've been. If we try looking at 80 megahertz overlapping channels, then things are going to get much more complicated. And obviously, the people who write the algorithms in ARM, in our case, for automatic channel selection, obviously those guys are looking at this pretty hard, because I think this is a case where we're going to have to get real-time feedback.
Unmuted.
Say what's going on, and then turn around and reconfigure it. Partly because it's going to depend on traffic. You know, if you've got an overlapping channel and there's nothing on it, then you're in a very good situation. If you've got overlapping channels and there's a lot of traffic, then you may be better off to separate them and just stick with 40 megahertz and not overlap. That's as far as I've got so far. I think we'll have to find out.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So, Peter, while we wait for other questions to come, I do have a question around SNR, right?
Yes.
I was reading online that, you know, the SNR can make a big difference in terms of what data rate and actually what speed you can get with 11AC. In fact, I've seen numbers thrown around like maybe it's 20 feet, even less, at which you actually get the, you know, higher data rates.
Yeah.
What's the best practices there? Or what are your thoughts on that in that area?
Okay. The first thing is that as we go to the wider channels and the higher order modulation, the 256 QAM, I think we've got 3/4 and 5/6 in AC here, you need a better SNR to be able to distinguish between the different symbols at OFDM. That's always been the case, and it continues to be the case. But what it means is that the high rates, the top two or three rates on the MCS table are only going to be attainable with a very good SNR, which means pretty close to the access point. And certainly we're looking at from what they tell me in the lab, to get the top rates, we're going to need to be in the sort of 5-meter range from the access point, which changes things a little bit from where we've been in the past. If we think back to, I guess, the 11 ABG stuff, AG, let's say, then the 54 megabits per second rate was good out to, I don't know, if you were in almost line of sight conditions, maybe 25 meters, something like that, 20, 25 meters. And then there was that degradation, that slope that you hit. What happens now is that you hit the slope a lot closer to the access point, of course. So I think we can all handle that, and we may find some corner cases where we want to design networks to really make sure we get the best, in which case the distances will need to be short. I did find one question that came in on email after Airheads where people were saying, well, I heard that we need to put the access points much closer together because we need to be at minus 55 instead of, let's say, minus 65 for an RSSI. And, of course, that's not really the case. I think for the initial design rules for putting out access points, we should probably just stick with the rules we have for 11N in the absence of any better data. And I haven't seen the better data yet. As we start to roll out real networks, we'll get it. So that relates back to AP spacing. I think that was the question, Pierre.
Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be a very interesting question as far as the design goes and the compromises between the data rates and the speeds and the performance that the end users get. You know, we do have several folks that are both partners that are doing implementation as well as customers who are going to use this. You know, the lines are open, guys. What's your take on this? I mean, what do you guys think as the compromise that you guys see as far as your design goes in this specific area around AP spacing, around signal-to-noise ratio, around the specific data rates that you would strive for when you're designing your networks?
So I actually kind of had a question for Peter as well. I've heard that in the AC standard that it's no longer possible to cut off the lower data rates, which was a common practice to cut down to get higher data rates being used in a network and say to limit it to 24 megabits a second or above. Is that going to impact a lot the performance when you've got a mixed client base that you can no longer do that with ACAPs?
I haven't come across not being able to do that with AC. Have I missed something? I'm sure I missed something.
I heard that was no longer going to be possible, that the MCS rates were going to be fixed and you could no longer alter that. If I've been misinformed, that would be nice to hear.
I'll go and have another look. They may have changed around so it's mandatory to go all the way down. I don't know.
Yeah,
I think that was the way I had heard it.
Yeah, I think, Chris, what you're referring to is, like, you know how in N we had so-called greenfield mode? I don't think there's a greenfield mode in AC. Is that what you're talking about?
No. This was specifically about the ability to go into an AP and cut off the lower data rates to reduce the area clients connected to the high-density design.
Interesting.
I'll go and talk to the guys in the lab. I haven't come across that, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Okay.
If that is the case, what are we going to do? That's a useful tool. We'll have to find another way of doing that.
Yeah, it has definitely implications for high-density designs.
Yes.
To get back to the, while we're waiting for another question, to get back to the question that was asked of us about AC deployments that we're doing, I haven't run into any AC deployments. I don't know if everybody else is running into deployments or they're doing kind of initial rollouts and testing or not, but certainly up here I haven't run into any to answer that question.
I think we're doing most of our testing, all of the testing probably with little USB 6, which have been out since, what, Christmas?
Yeah, at least 3 months now.
Yeah.
Is that the USB-2-based adapters, Peter?
Yes, I think so.
Almost all of them are USB-2. We know of one that's a USB-3.0.
And is there a significant performance difference that you're seeing there?
Have you seen the performance numbers? I personally haven't.
I don't know about USB 2 versus USB 3. In general, performance, we're looking at that gigabit per second rate. That's the magic figure. Certainly when you're on three streams, you want to be hitting the gigabit with UDP, and I think we're getting there in the lab at the moment.
So folks, as 11AC is pretty much becoming, getting very close to being, being ratified and being close to, generally available in client products, are you guys thinking about designs? Are you guys thinking about, upgrades? What questions come to your mind as far as, okay, how am I going to do a migration, or how am I going to, maybe coexist 11AC and the existing products? How am I going to, you're probably not going to do a forklift upgrade or a rip and replace. You're probably going to have multiple technologies coexist. So, any questions or thoughts in those areas?
So our firm hasn't really started doing any AC testing yet. We've had customers inquiring about it, so we've got generalized knowledge, but mainly because none of the vendors that we work with have really released any AC APs. It's really only the SOHO market that's released anything. We haven't really been doing any design that. We've mostly been advising customers to if they have a pressing need, to go ahead with a deployment with NAPs for now, and then to look at maybe upgrading conference rooms and high-density areas with AC APs when they're finally released.
Yeah, I would agree with Chris. That's kind of what we're doing on our side too. I mean, to go back to, I think it was Peter's point about we can't really change course and say, okay, you need to follow this new design standard or plan this way until we have more data to kind of lead us in a different direction. So I think it would kind of be a bad idea to tell them to do something else at this point.
Fair enough. And, we're also, as we do our own internal testing, we're also going to publish a sort of a best practices / migration guide, help you guys work on the right designs, work on the right migration. But, again, that's mostly going to be lab tested, so we will rely on you guys to actually validate it and qualify it with actual field implementation and testing. So, I think there's a lot of work to be done hand-in-hand once we have a product that's out there.
And I think Keith has a question as well. How can we design without having tested clients and enterprise class APs?
Actually, that was more of a comment on the previous question. Said, what are you doing? We can't do anything yet. Just as a data point, just this morning I received an RFP for 42,000 student schools, a whole bunch of schools, and in the RFP it stated explicitly must be 802.11 AC and cannot use anything but a software upgrade in the AP.
So Cisco's out.
Which is, yeah.
Basically.
But that's what I've seen.
It's funny that they're already asking and there's nothing out there for it.
Yeah. I think the argument for that is that at the other end of its life, when it gets, it gets to be 2016-ish, if it's AC, it'll have hopefully another couple of years over if it was not in 11N. And certainly, listening to our salespeople in Aruba, and salespeople are pretty smart. They pick up on the arguments. They are saying that if you're putting in a new AP today, you should put in AC, not because you'll be able to get better performance today, but because it'll have a longer life in the ceiling,
I agree with that, other than they want to install within the next month. So it's a little catch-22 there.
Yes, for 42,000 students, they want to install in the next month?
Yeah.
I think going back to,
it's one of those
to
kind
the
of
testing, going back to the testing question, the probably the first clients that I'll actually be testing with will likely be one of the already released handsets, just because they're out there on the market, you know they've got AC built into them, and they're probably going to have a large amount of use cases as well, so I'd probably start testing there rather than actually testing laptops.
Okay. Yes, I don't think people are going to be buying large quantities of USB dongles. Not very practical.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the migration will start as of the second half of this year. I'm pretty sure that we'll start to see the chips are cheap enough. And I think it's fair to say that the market is receptive to the message that you have better Wi-Fi. I mean, we've seen it from the Amazon Kindle marketing, we've seen it from the Apple marketing, and Samsung. Virtually anything that comes out, the top three bullets somewhere in there, there's going to be something saying this device has Wi-Fi and it's great, which is good for us, even though we're not consumer Wi-Fi people.
So, Matthew, I see you have a question. Go ahead and, you know, you feel free to speak over the phone.
Yeah, I feel like I don't belong in this conversation since I don't see any need for the AC bandwidth in our environment. And so I'm kind of curious to know, we're putting in N antennas because we can't really buy B and G antennas anymore. I don't want to leap to the AC early because I have clients using it. I want to leave to it. I don't want to replace APs again in the future. But I also don't want to leave behind my current client use. So I'm kind of wondering what is the anticipated, I put real need in quotes in my my text here. What do we really think clients are going to be doing with all this marvelous bandwidth we give them? And I realize that's a terribly open-ended question and depends a great deal on which client you're talking about. You know, my store employees with a barcode gun don't need AC. My customers trying to use wireless in my store are going to watch YouTube videos while they sit there in a grocery store, but that doesn't seem likely either. So I'm just not really seeing a need for our environment to go to AC, but I also realize that the market is going to push me there whether I like it or not. I'm trying to decide how urgently I should go there or how slowly I can go there.
Well, that's up to you and your business model, of course. But also, you know, what – airtime, we always want that the least amount of airtime, and the fastest we can get something on the wire would always be best. That's all I can say. Whether you're going to use it or not, whether, you know, after it gets on the wire, you might have a bottleneck somewhere else in your current deployment model. So, you know, whether it be your ISP or whatnot at your remote sites or sales sites, I don't know exactly what your environment's like, but I kind of think of it like as pollution when we're using slower data rates, and I prefer to, you know, have those faster data rates if possible.
So do we have the phone caller here? Sorry. The person that was just speaking, I was just hoping you could introduce yourself. I didn't recognize your voice.
Oh, sorry. That was on a work call earlier. This is Sean Anderson.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Bob. I'm on Twitter at Pernierson, and I blog on Airhead's website.
Awesome. And also, welcome, Tom Carpenter. You just joined our call as well, right?
Yes, I did. I apologize. This computer was not properly prepared for GoToMeeting, and I went into a big hassle to get it up, so I apologize.
No worries. Sorry, you had some trouble there.
I'd like to elaborate a little on my question, if I can. This is Matthew again. What I realized I was really asking is how much pressure is the market going to give me? As in, when will it happen that my laptops we purchase don't have BG anymore and they're all N or AC? When am I going to be forced to go into the AC? Is really kind of my question.
Well, I mean, it's backwards compatible anyway, right? So it's
you're talking about the 5 gigahertz.
Yeah, they're both. I think they're going to have both. I mean, the 2.4 N, and you know, if they do have AC, they'll usually. I bet the radio will have 2.4 N and 5 gigahertz AC.
So we're expecting the clients to support both for a while anyway.
That's what I see.
Peter, did you have any comments?
Yeah, all these chips are going to be completely backwards compatible, as far as I'm aware. People are doing the other thing at the moment. They're switching off the B rates to force the higher rates from G. And generally, what we're seeing in universities, anyway, is that that's a safe thing to do.
So I do have another question here on the chat, guys. It's from Jerry. Jerry, go ahead. Your line should be open. Feel free to ask a question. Actually, I see the line's muted from your end, so you have to unmute yourself.
I did.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
A double mute. That was awesome. We're in a unique situation here where we run a logon script to back up people's computers when they first boot and join the network. When they're on wireless exclusively, it doesn't work. So that's one of the challenges we have here. So with the wireless priority set to be higher for the faster speeds, which everybody loves, we have a problem with getting backups. And how do you resolve some of those issues? Does that make sense?
I need to think about the question a little more. So you're saying when a computer comes up, it immediately wants to do a backup of whatever's changed, and
yes,
that's a lot of data?
It can be. It's really just their documents. You know,
uh-huh.
It's their base stuff. And so sometimes it can be a lot of changes. Sometimes it's very tiny. But the problem is because the wireless doesn't, and I'm not sure what doesn't actually authenticate fully, it actually won't let them do those backups to the domain. They can access any of the resources. They just can't do that backup script because it happens at login, not after the connection's made.
Is the client switching from machine authentication at login prompt to user authentication after login prompt, and could it be during that transition that it's breaking?
That's probably it because we use both machine and user authentication. We have to have the two-factor. So it's kind of a problem for me.
Yeah, we successfully argued that logging into the box equals one factor and the box's existence equals the other factor. So the two factor is accomplished without switching to user authentication. At least that argument is what we're trying on our PCI auditor. So if that flies, then we'll be staying in machine. And that seems to be solving that problem for us.
Okay.
I like you, Matthew. I argue that all the time with auditors.
So, folks, sounds like we are moving away from 11AC-related questions. If there are no more questions related to 11AC, I'd like to open up the floor for general Wi-Fi questions or issues you guys might have. Just like Jerry brought up something right now, you guys are welcome to talk about your current concerns, talk about anything in the future that you're looking forward to, talk about other standards, AD, for example, that you might have questions about that we haven't covered.
I have kind of a, I don't know if it's a bit off the wall or far-fetched question, but I actually get asked this occasionally, maybe once a month, and I never really know how to answer it, so I'll ask it here, and maybe someone can give me an answer. So right now when we're connecting to a network and our data is encrypted and it's encrypted using AES 128, do we ever see a need where we're going to be needing something beyond that in the near future, and is development of that already underway, or we're going to wait till AES 128 isn't enough and then kind of react as an industry once it's already too weak?
That's a good question. It's a little outside my field. I haven't seen anything that I can think of saying that we need a better cipher. We've got the GCM coming in, of course, but as far as I know, that's effectively using the same cipher underneath it. There is other work going on, let me answer a different question since I'm blank on that one. In terms of passwords, Dan Harkins, who's got quite a history in the industry, going all the way back to IKE, has invented something called EPWD, which is based on elliptic curves, which is apparently something pretty good in cryptography. But the clever thing here is that it will take a fairly short password and spread it over a very wide space and spread it completely symmetrically. So supposedly you can't sort of gather the data and do statistical tests to crack it. So the idea here is that it ends up looking, to my mind, a little bit like TTLS, where you've got password both ends. But you can effectively use what today we would call a weak password. And it's up on an RFC. If you read the introduction, it's a lot more lucid than what I just said. But effectively, it says, hey, we're trying to expect people to remember passwords, and the passwords have to get more and more complicated and supposedly random, so they can't be subject to dictionary attacks and so on. What we should be doing is making the algorithm better so it will accept the sort of passwords that humans can remember. So EPWD, it's actually in Android right now, and we are promoting it. For these sort of applications going forwards, as a good password-based authentication system.
Interesting. And does that still use certificate initially? Is that the idea? Like it's tunnel
still? Password-based, although you could, you know, do all the EAP things with it if you wanted to on the outside. But essentially, this is just a straight password password exchange over the air, but of course the passwords are transformed before they go over the channel. So elliptic curves seems to be one of the newer things in cryptography at the moment, which is coming along.
Do you know what's going on in the 60 gig space?
60 gig, 11AD, Y gig. I think we're waiting for products. And from what I saw last, I think the Wi-Fi Alliance, which is now doing the plug fests, I think that the date for the end of the plug fests was supposed to be the end of this year. Because the Y gig Alliance has folded itself into the Wi-Fi Alliance now. So although the standard is done and finished, I think the Wi-Fi Alliance is still working on the certification.
So do you actually see products coming in the future which will have 2.4, 5.0, and 60 gig all on a single platform, or is that something that's very futuristic?
I don't know about 2.4, but 5 and 60 is probably an attractive combination. I think we'll have to see how far 60 gets pushed, and it'll be pushed much more by the consumer electronics people pushing or moving video around the living room than it will be by the enterprise people like ourselves. Now, those are famous last words. Someone may come out of left field and prove me wrong very quickly, but that's what I see today anyway.
Let me come back to this. I have a follow-up question on you, but we do have a question on chat from Chris. Chris, do you want to speak up?
Yeah, I was reading a little bit about
the reasons for using GCN with 802.11ac, but that it wouldn't be probably used at least initially, and that it would be optional with phase two of AC. Do you actually see people as finding it necessary to use GCN, and if so, when do you think that will start to appear in chipsets?
It's actually been the chip people who've been resisting this. Partly, I suspect, because they don't want to build in extra stuff. It certainly seems that you won't need GCN until you're well into the gigabit per second range. It is mandatory, I believe, in AD, so maybe that will be the sort of catalyst that gets it into chips. But I don't think we've seen any yet. I don't think we've seen it yet. It may be one of these things where the horizon just sort of moves out ahead of us as fast as we approach it.
Given that you just said it'll be kind of like an optional, not mandatory thing, do we have any information on, given that GCM is really about, I guess we'll say, improving the efficiency of the protocol rather than adding security, what kind of performance impacts or benefits, I guess, will we see if GCM is implemented versus not?
I guess at some stage, if we don't do GCM, then we'll run into bottlenecks where the silicon can't keep up. And presumably that would be at an aggregated point rather than in individual endpoints. So it's something to look. It is something to look at, to look to AP vendors like ourselves for, I think. We don't see a need yet. Certainly talk to the hardware people who do the controllers.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on that, Peter? Why is that needed? Or why would it be useful?
The I haven't got all my notes in front of me, but essentially the GCM comes in because it's an easier algorithm, or rather it's a less onerous algorithm to implement. That is, you don't have to make two passes, which I believe you have to do today. So it takes less operations to encrypt or decrypt a block of data. Because it takes less operations, you don't need as powerful a chip to do it.
Okay.
And turn it on its head, the implication of why you need it is that if you are encrypting, decrypting sort of multi-gigabit speed streams, it's running up against the limitations of the chips that they know how to build today, or at least that they knew how to build a year or two ago when they put this in the standard. So it's a sort of a race between how fast the chips get better, more efficient, versus how fast the bandwidth increases the actual user data.
Fair enough. I think there was another
related
question coming
on
up.
On a related note about a performance, I know that with specifically with MU MIMO and the beamforming parts of AC, that there'll be some extra design from the hardware design standpoint. Is that something that the Aruba sees as being a big challenge?
Sorry, which part of the hardware?
Being designing antennas for the beamforming and the MU MIMO.
I think at our level, we don't actually see inside that very much, although we can read it. I was talking to someone last week about reading the matrices. But mostly it's business of the chip vendors to put it in at each end.
Okay.
I have a feeling I'm not quite answering your question, but try again.
I was wondering whether it would affect your antenna designs. Particular features there.
I missed that part. I can certainly say we have been looking at combining different types of antennas with MIMO. And I think it's one of those things where you can draw interesting pictures, but you would need to actually build it to see what's effective and what isn't effective. But it is one of the intriguing possibilities, partly because, as I said, we now get good indications from the chip as to the different signals that the different antennas are seeing. And I think we get more information than we got before they were doing proper beamforming with explicit feedback. And that potentially allows us to do cleverer things with maybe switching in or out different types of antennas, that kind of thing. Something in the lab.
So that brings up an interesting question on the chat, which is, do you see software-defined radio in the Aruba future?
No. Do we see software-defined radio? I
more like an FPGA, probably, right?
Yes. If we get to the stage where the amount of processing power required versus what you get on an FPGA is back in balance, which I don't think it has been since 11B pretty much, then I think there might be a possibility. One of the important things with SDN, of course, is that it makes the radio very versatile. And I would argue that it's the cellular world that has much more fragmentation of bandwidths and protocols than the Wi-Fi world at the moment. It's probably quite well defined what you need to put in a Wi-Fi chip right now. But that's my speculation. So I have a feeling we'll see more of it in the cellular world than we will before we get back to Wi-Fi. Something to watch.
Thank you, Peter. So
we have about 10 minutes or so left.
So, folks, we are about our 10-minute marker to the end of the call. I did want to make sure that we have addressed, most of your questions or concerns. If we haven't, feel free to, post them on the chat while I, talk about another topic that I wanted to share with you. So, as part of our launch for 11AC, we'd like to actually run some kind of a contest or some kind of a survey from our power users, namely you guys, to get an understanding of the use cases of the specific environments that you will be using 11AC. This question came up earlier that how. Or where is 11AC applicable? We don't see the applications today. And, I'd like to turn that question around back to you, right? We have customers that are coming to us for, questions around high-density design for using 11AC, folks that want faster speeds for 11AC. But, we want some specific use cases, hey, this is our environment. This is where we plan to deploy 11AC because we think that with this speed we can do ABC, something along those lines. So we're going to run a contest, and Jeannie is going to send out an email to you guys with the details. But essentially, we're giving away the latest 11AC-enabled Samsung smartphone, as part of to the winner for the contest. And the contest is very simple. All we want is some creative ideas and some creative inputs from you guys, right, of how you will be enabling if you are a partner reseller, how you'll be enabling your customers with 11AC and in what kind of usage environments. And if you're the end user, if you're the customer, then how do you plan to leverage 11AC in your specific environment? And, we're looking for creativity. So, even if you don't plan to use it, but if you have a creative thought of how you could use it, need not be in your work environment, even in your home environment, that's okay. But essentially, we are looking for use cases. So, feel free to, when Jeannie sends out that email,
you know, think about use cases that you can submit. These use cases will be submitted back on our Airheads community, and we'll have a voting that's going to be done by our peers as to which is, you know, a very, you know, an interesting or creative use case. So we'll have a peer voting system to vote who wins that smartphone. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Any questions on that? See a lot of yeps. That's great. So I really look forward to your participation in that contest and survey. And as you know, Samsung and HTC are the first two vendors to announce 11ac-enabled smartphones. But I think Samsung is going to be the one shipping it first. So the S4. So that's what we're going to give away. So while I was going through that, I do have a question on the chat. So let's go back to that, Dan or Daniel.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just wondering. Wasn't too long ago that I couldn't go a day without hearing about 802.11u, and now I really hear nothing about 802.11u. So I was just wondering if anybody has been hearing something or has some kind of news on it. What's going on with that standard at the moment?
I'm very involved in 11u. We're in a funny sort of lull at the moment because the standard came out. Well, the Wi-Fi Alliance certification was, what, June last year, sometime around the middle of last year. And all the AP vendors have it. This is the first phase, which is essentially using 11U GAS ANQP to advertise the reachable service providers and then have the phone read that and match a priority list that it has and then authenticate. So that all works today. The bit that's missing is the handsets. And it's been very difficult to get handsets up to now. Now, Samsung is the one that's been doing most. And I'm very pleased to see that the S4 supposedly has it in the spec. We know that Samsung can do it because an organization called the WBA, the Wireless Broadband Alliance, which is a whole bunch of Wi-Fi service providers, Wi-Fi hotspot providers, has been doing testing with Samsung phones, among others, for the last, well, we did one round end of 2011, early 2012, and then the other round is just in progress right now. So we're really waiting for these phones to come out and get on the shelf, and then we can do things with them. Intel already has a client, a software client, that's certainly available to us, but people are more interested in the handsets. LG, we've seen, come along with a set for testing, but it's not generally available. So we're hoping that these things will get on the shelf very quickly. Meanwhile, there's huge, huge interest in the Wi-Fi Alliance in doing phase two and indeed phase three of 11U. And phase two is in the plugfest stage right now. We just had a plugfest last week, which I think was the second one. So in phase two, they're adding some operator policy and some online sign up. So it's if you're familiar with Whisper, it's like using Whisper, but doing it the proper way. There's a server back inside the network that will talk XML out to the handset and allow it to sign up for a service when you first show up at a site. And there's also operator policy that allows the operator to tell the access point how to deal with the session. So that's pretty much where we are from my point of view. I'm very much hoping that the next round of phones we see coming out will have that as a just a standard off-the-shelf capability. I mean, that was the whole point of this.
Okay.
Everything
okay.
else
Thank
is
you.
Ready.
There was one more comment from Tom, I believe. Tom, are you still on the line?
It was just a comment, not really a question, but the discussion about combining 11AD with 2.4 and 5 APs. In one AP, we already face an issue when we're putting 5 and 2.4 in an AP.
with propagation and range and things like that, and you have to plan very carefully for that. So you can only imagine what it would be like with 60 gigahertz trying to compare that in the same thing. So the propagation is much, much more quickly attenuated, nearly 100 times more quickly attenuated. So it's not likely we would see as much use for those in given APs shared. And they're also, the standard defines really only directional based on some regulations and things in that range. So you're looking at directional propagation, even though it is beam-forming type of directionality. So there are just those kind of things, I think, make it to where we're less likely to see combo, I think, 2, 4, and 5 with 60 in them at the same time.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Yeah, you wouldn't see a sort of a 3-radio AP in the same sense that we have 2-radio APs today. I don't think you'll see companies like Aruba leading with 11AD, although famous last words, right? But what I'm interested in is if it does come in the consumer world, and the people pushing it right now definitely are the TV set-top box type people, the consumer electronics people. If it comes in like that, then history sort of indicates that it'll show up in our kind of networks, certainly in universities and probably wider across enterprise. And then we may have to work out how to incorporate that, because I'm sure there will be some interesting ways that we can do that if the equipment comes along.
Yeah, and one thing I can definitely see in the enterprise already that we saw people try to do with back in the 11B days with all of the wireless-based presentation systems that just didn't work because they couldn't get the video through fast enough. But obviously that can be very useful in conference facilities and things like that going forward.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Folks, we are at the end of the hour. If there are any more questions, you're welcome to reach out to Peter directly through Airheads, or you can obviously start a conversation on the forum. I'd like to hand it off to Jeannie to close the call and, talk about some more details.
So, Peter, I just have a quick question for you. Is there an interesting story behind your handle on Airheads, Antar?
Oh, man, it's too complicated. But the Thornycroft Antar is a tank transporter that was built originally for that was designed for the Persian oil fields, although it's not a Persian name. It's an Arabic name. And my wife is actually from Tehran, so I don't know what the heck I make of that, but it's a double pun somehow.
I think it just sounds cool. Antar. So anyway, so you can reach Peter on Airhead Social Community, and his handle is Antar, A-N-T-A-R. This is Jeannie Kedia. I think I've spoken to many of you multiple times. I just want to let everyone know that I will be sending emails shortly today with details on the contest that we're going to be running. And how you can submit your entries for it. Thank you so much for joining us today. We did reserve the time till 10:15. So if you'd like to stay a little bit longer and ask a couple of additional questions, please do so, or otherwise feel free to drop off. We want to be also very aware of people's time constraints. Any closing thoughts from you, Peter or Kaya?
I think this was a pretty informative session. Do you guys see value in doing this with other speakers, other presenters from Aruba in the future? And this is mostly for the folks on the phone.
No, I think it's a good forum to kind of ask questions that you normally wouldn't ask at something like a conference or something like that, because some of the questions go kind of really deep and maybe really wide in breadth. So I think this is a perfect forum for stuff like this.
And maybe if there are specific topics that you guys are interested in, maybe you guys can let us know through the forums, and we can set up something recurring to cover something like this.
Yeah, and you can also email me directly as well.
I'll chime in on the thank you for this. This has been useful to give me a different way of thinking of some of my own problems, because I didn't think of half the questions that were here, but I benefited from the answers.
Good.
If I can just throw out one idea. We were talking earlier about authentication and encryption, and Dan Harkins is one of the foremost industry experts on that. We could absolutely bring him in. We'd be talking more about futures probably than about what's going on in the field today, but I'd certainly love to spend half an hour with Dan, I can tell you, and asking him those sort of open-ended questions. What's going on? What are we going to see? What kind of things are you trying to overcome and solve? What do you think are the biggest issues? That's one idea.
Yeah.
We could probably get Dorothy to talk about what's going on in the standards world.
That'd be great.
There's plenty of experts around Aruba, and we can line them up. They'd love to talk, I'm sure.
How interested are you guys in futures versus what's going on now and current challenges?
I'd say for me it's about a 50-50 mix. I don't like to wait till something is the present before I know about it. So if we can talk about the future a little bit too, that's good for me.
Well, you're always so forward thinking, Dan.
I'm going to tell my wife that.
I will do that. Okay, and this is Tom says that both are important, but 80% of his work is planning for the future. Excellent.
One other comment we have is about field experiences. We can also bring in folks from, our professional services team, even our consulting system SEs, who overlook a lot of deployments, to bring in the field experiences. And a lot of you guys on the phone also have a lot of field experience too, so this is this is really a two-way open forum. So if you guys feel very about some topic, we are welcome to host you as a speaker for a future topic too. Right, Jeannie?
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
Okay, folks, thanks a lot for making the time to attend this call. You should get an email from Jeannie and Anton later today or tomorrow, and let's get some creative juices flowing. We hope to hear back from you very soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
The organizer has ended the session, and this call will be disconnected. Goodbye.
Thank you. Please stand by.